Let us rise and read the scripture of our Lord this morning from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, a passage in the Gospel of Mark that we have been studying in the last couple of months. And now we get to this interesting passage here. So let us read the word of our Lord. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This is a big, hard world with big, hard things. Today's New Year's Day. We come here out of a season of celebration, of rest, of good meals and good fellowship with our loved ones. It was a season of joy, a season of wonder, a season when the lights are all around and everything is all but smiles. It's good to have a stop and have a little bit of fresh air in the middle of our lives. It is amazing to live through those seasons that feels like a dream. But tomorrow is Monday. And tomorrow we will go back into the world. We will go back to Hebrew 2, some of us. Oh, wow. We will go back to work. We will go back to messy situations. We will go back to challenges that only we know about. This is a big, hard world with a big, hard sun beating on people. It is time to go down from the mountaintop into the plain, and we don't know what to expect down there. You may be entering this next year full of hope, full of dreams, full of possibilities. You may be entering this next year full of fear and angst and doubt. Maybe you have all the answers for your problems and you're going to fix the world the next 365 days. Maybe you have a great record of success. Maybe you want to keep your winning streak. Maybe you are tired and you don't know where you go from here. Maybe you are a man of constant sorrow who has seen trouble all your days and you don't see it going away. How should we consider a new year? How should we live in this place? Our passage today talks about Jesus coming back from the mountaintop into the plain, into this big, hard world. And we will learn from him how we ought to walk in this world. Our passage today is about this world's brutal reality and how we should live here. We will see real suffering, real healing, and real hope. We will see that we walk in a dark, fallen world, but we walk by faith, not by sight, trusting and resting completely in Jesus Christ. Again, we walk in a dark world, but by faith we rely on Jesus Christ, our light and our only hope. Well, we are in the Gospel of Mark. We have been studying this for the last couple of months, and Mark has been showing us who is this man, Jesus Christ, and what his message is all about. In the first part of this gospel, we have seen his power and his miraculous signs. Jesus is shown as a powerful king who has done great deeds, culminating in the last passage in the book of Mark, in the Mountain of Transfiguration, when Jesus revealed his glory to Peter, to James, and John. They were at the top of the mountain, and they saw great glory when Jesus was spoken to Elijah and to Moses in a radiant light in the midst of a cloud. But now it is time to go back. It is time to get down from that mountain into the world. And there is something that Jesus must do when he gets back. Jesus must do something, and it is frightening. Jesus warned them clearly. He told him that they should have not tell what happened to anyone until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Jesus said that. Jesus clearly stated to them that he was going down from the mountain to die. Jesus said that that moment of that glory, of that radiant light, the moment to talk about that would come, but first he would have to face death. He would have to face unimaginable suffering, pain, and darkness. Thus, they went down from the mountain into the scene of our passage today. They came down from that glorious splendor into confusion, into screaming, into discussion, into brokenness, into suffering, which leads to our first point. We walk in a dark world. We walk in a dark world. Read with me again verses 14 to 19 in our passage. Here it says, "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran to him and greeted him. And Jesus asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.'" Jesus comes down from the mountain into a chaotic scene. Jesus comes down, and immediately he faced what he said he would face, darkness. As soon as he leaves the mountain, Jesus finds his disciples surrounded by scribes, by a great crowd, and everybody's yelling at each other. Confusion. There's a heated debate going on, accusation and screaming. The crowd notices Jesus and runs to him, expecting him to solve the issue. Who is the winner of this debate? Who is on the right side? Jesus' reaction is to ask, "What is the debate? What are you arguing about?" And then silence. Those who were debating stop. Those who were screaming are now silent. Then one weak and desperate voice asks, "Master, I brought my son to you. I was seeking you. He has a problem that no one can fix. It is a big problem. I brought you my boy, and your disciples couldn't do anything. Nobody was able. They were not able to do anything." This father presents his big problem to Jesus. And all dimensions of suffering are present here. Notice this. There is physical pain. The boy has terrible seizures. The boy has a demonic spirit that causes incredible suffering. This is not an ordinary infirmity. This is a demonic spirit destroying a life and causing excruciating pain. This life is hanging on a thread. The darkness here is overwhelming, and the boy is physically destroyed. This evil spirit caused him to be burned and to be drowned. From childhood, he has been physically imprisoned in his own body, foaming, grinding his teeth, and being constrained by this demon. He's physically destroyed. There is also deep emotional pain. The boy is deaf and mute. He sees it all, but he can't communicate. He can't listen to any consolation. He has been there alone, trapped in his own body all his life because of this demonic spirit. The father can't close his eyes. His boy is always in danger. He can't rest. This father is exhausted. The Gospel of Luke says that this boy is this father's only son. He probably paid everything he could and nothing worked. His only boy, there is no solution, there is no way out. He faced ongoing shame. He heard accusations all around blaming previous sins from him or from the boy as a cause of his condition. Both are rejected and abandoned. He brought his boy to the disciples hoping for something new, and they had nothing. Emptiness once again. And the numbers of tears of this father just keep growing. They are countless. The scribes were there. They saw the disciples' failure, and they did nothing. They didn't wait a second to accuse the disciples of what they were doing. And the disciples started to defend themselves and became a heated debate between the scribes and the disciples. Then the father is once again abandoned. He's lost there. He's rejected and alone. The father became an issue. The father became a problem. And he's forgotten there in despair. And his boy is on the ground, foaming, groaning, and suffering. Finally, there is a big spiritual problem here as well. This is a demonic possession. There is no doubt that this is a result of the sinfulness present in this world. Not a result of their own sins necessarily, but of the fall. They are powerless in the face of evil. Don't miss this. This is a demon attacking the image of God. The purpose of the enemy of our souls is purely described here. He came to kill, he came to steal, he came to destroy. Notice that the spirit is mute. He does not even say a thing. His sole purpose is destruction. Destruction of creation, destruction of hope, destruction of life, destruction of the image of God. Jesus comes down from the mountain. He already is facing darkness. He has seen darkness before him immediately. He's staring into the void of the sinfulness, broken, fallen world, and it is dark, a type of dark that is palpable and destructive. Church, the Bible shows us the true reality of this world. It does not sugarcoat it. The Bible is extremely real, much more than we are. The Bible presents the darkness of this world as it is, and it may surprise you here today. In this world filled with entertainment, filled with comfort and candy, you may think that is a pretty nice place. It is not. This world lays in darkness as a result of sin. This fallen world are ruins filled with the dust of death all around. All this physical, emotional, and spiritual darkness is a consequence of the rupture of our relationship with God. All is a result of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the fall, in which all mankind, descending from them by ordinary generation, sinned in them and fell with them in their first transgression. This is not how things ought to be, and we should not be comfortable in this world. However, Sundays, our Lord's Day, is when we see more clearly. Today is when we have a glimpse of the world that is to come. We are reminded of the reality that awaits us here in worship, in the Lord's Day. When we open our scripture in the Lord's Day and we listen to his voice from the law and the prophets, we are at the mountaintop listening to Elijah and Moses. Listen to Jesus himself. When we come to church, we are seeing rays of this glorious light invading darkness, the future invading the past. Here, when we come to worship, is the closest thing that we get from the mountain experience as we contemplate by faith the glory of Christ. By God's design, it's this moment that we foresee what is going to be eternal. But when we go out through that door, we go down back from the mountain. And we face darkness and death all around. Already and not yet. So, don't miss this opportunity here. Don't miss the opportunity to come with your brothers to worship our Lord in his Lord day, in his day. Don't miss the opportunity to be weekly reminded of whom you belong and where is your home. We need to be constantly reminded of that. Because the natural condition of our hearts is blindness. We can't see in the dark without light. Notice how every single one of the characters here in the story are lost in themselves. The boy, the father, the disciples, the scribes, even the crowd. The boy lays at the ground, imprisoned by a demonic spirit. The father lays there in despair, crying for a way out. The disciples lay paralyzed by failure and self-defense and have forgotten the boy and the father. The scribes lay in their arrogance, seeking to satisfy their thirst of blood by aggressively accusing the disciples and forgetting the father and the boy too. The crowds lay in their ignorance, silent, entertained by the scenario and waiting for who will win the debate. No hope, no light, darkness, destruction, and suffering. This is who we are, and the enemy of our souls seeks to keep that way. He wants us to think that this is okay, but it is not, because there is true hope. There is true light. Jesus is near. Jesus approaches. Jesus asks. Jesus is here. In Jesus, we walk in the light, which leads to our second point. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Read with me again verses 19 to 29. And he, Jesus, answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and he has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." The entire situation breaks Jesus' heart. Like Moses coming down from the glorious encounter with God in the Mount Sinai to find Israel worshiping a golden calf at the bottom of the mountain, Jesus, God himself, descends from the mountain to find everybody lost in themselves and forgetting about God. Unbelief saddens the heart of our Savior. He cares about his people and how we deal with affliction and brokenness. He hates sinfulness, and he sees his disciples only caring about themselves. He sees the merciless scribes using the entire situation to gain power. He sees the lost father suffering with his sons, and he sees nobody looking up to God. He sees unbelief everywhere. And Jesus is in angst about this. "O faithless generation, how long? How long will not see? How long will you go away from me? How long you will keep in your own ways?" But Jesus. He's merciful, he's kind, he's graceful, and he listens to the plea of the poor father, and he says, "Bring the boy to me." There's an entire sermon here, but notice the love of our Savior. Notice how his love works. In a hard soil, he does not reject, but he calls the weak and the heavy laden to himself. He takes our yoke, he takes our burdens, our sins and our shame into his hands, and he brings solution. We only come and he performs redemption. He calls to himself by pure love to do good where no one could. This is the only way. Jesus is the only way. Church, the only way is bringing everything before the Lord. The only way for change, the only way to deal with suffering, with loss, with pain is bringing to Jesus' feet. This is the only way. He's our only living hope. He must be the center of our lives. Notice that as soon as the boy is brought before him, the mere presence of Jesus caused change. Jesus doesn't have to say anything. His mere presence caused the spirit to snap and seek destruction. What fellowship is between light and darkness? Jesus is the light of the world, and darkness did not overcome him. He is pure light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. The Spirit can stand there. Jesus walked down from the mountain to redeem and to expel darkness away, and he's already doing it. But he may surprise you. At this point, Jesus could have easily expelled a demon right there, as he does later. But he has something to do first. He turns and he speaks to the father to heal not only the boy, but to heal the father's heart too. Jesus wants to show that he can not only deal with the physical and the emotional problem, but he can deal with the deeper problem. He can deal with the spiritual situation too. He can make all things new once and forever. He's dealing with the faith of the father, and this has eternal consequences. Jesus cares. And Jesus asks about the situation. Jesus already knew. He didn't have to ask. But he asks the Father, how long has it been like this? And then Jesus listens. This is a good application for us here. He asks and he listens. Great. Jesus listens to the Father. It has always been like this. I'm desperate. We have suffered for so long. If you can do anything, if you have compassion, if you are able, please help us. If Jesus is able. If Jesus is compassionate, if Jesus loves, if Jesus is graceful, if. I imagine Jesus listening to this with tears in his eyes. I imagine Jesus listening to this with overflowing compassion. And I believe this answer is not like a moral lesson with a finger pointing like, if, you said if. I believe that Jesus' answer is like an exclamation. Man, you can't imagine. You can imagine, I am able, I am compassionate, I love you more than you know. Everything is possible because I can do it. Put your little faith in me. Even little faith is true hope. Faith is dependence and looking out. It is the essence of our faith that matters, not the amount. Faith is a finger pointing in a direction, saying, I am not able, but you are able. I can't, but you can't. I am not, but you are. This is faith. Everything is possible to the one who believes, not because my faith is powerful and I can throw lightning bolts with my hands. This is not faith. Everything is possible because of him in whom I believe. Everything is possible because he is powerful. He is almighty, and yes, he can. Faith is knowledge, faith is resting, faith is belonging. We know that our Savior is powerful, we belong to him, and we rest in his love. We need him to be, to live, to see. Jesus is saying that faith is how we walk in this dark world seeing clearly. We don't see in terms of this world, but we see it through the light that comes from above. The true light that illuminates all there is. A light that is older than creation, a pure, bright, loving light in which there is no darkness at all. A light that illuminates not only our eyes, but our hearts and faith. Do you see through this light? The eye is the lamp of the body. If it is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Is your eye good? Is your faith secure in this light that is Jesus Christ? The eye of the disciples went bad. Their faith lost their way. And maybe your faith here is like theirs. They had just walked around all Palestine, casting away demons and doing amazing things. The disciples were on a winning streak. They started thinking that they were getting a good performance. They were doing amazing things. They were getting good at this stuff of expelling demons. They knew Jesus, but they were the real deal. Come on, I got this. They lost sight of the Lord and they started thinking that their own efforts were pretty impressive. They lost track of their faith, trusting in themselves. They started defending themselves against the scribes. Their eyes went bad and they stopped looking to the light. When your faith starts trusting yourself too much, you are in danger. You are not relying on God anymore and you are not seeing through true light. Part of this whole situation here is God disciplining his children, disciplining the disciples, showing that they are not on their own. They are wholly dependent on God. So Jesus is taking care of the disciples too through this situation. Outside of Christ, there's only darkness. On the other hand, maybe your faith is shaky like the father's faith. I know that you might be able, but I don't know if you're able for me. I know that Jesus is grace and love. I know that God is good, but is he good for me? Brothers and sisters, in the midst of pain and situation, we can confidently approach the throne of grace and find mercy before our Lord. In our little faith, we can come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. You can come in your little faith to delight in God because a small faith in a big Lord is enough. Faith like a mustard seed is enough to move mountains because it is God who is moving it, not you. Jesus is able. You can come and trust. You can come and rest in him completely. Small faith is not the reason for you to delay your coming to Christ. Little faith is enough, even in doubt. Come to him. See that this is the prayer of the Father. I believe, help my unbelief. This is a great prayer because it is from a heart that is completely poured out before the Lord. A heart that is doubtful and weak, but it is a heart that comes to Christ, and that's all that matters. Although in weakness and little faith, not being able to see well enough in the middle of the amount of tears that this father has, his heart comes to Jesus. His heart comes to Jesus because Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one who is able. Our faith is a tiny rope tied around the Rock of Ages. He's the only way, the only light of this world. Our Psalm 139, verse 12 that we read earlier, tell us that this world is a dark place, but even darkness is not dark to God. For him, the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with God. Notice that Jesus sought the Father's heart in order to show him that walking by faith meant not only looking to the circumstances as if they were ultimate. It meant not only to look at the circumstances as if they were ultimate, but look to God, because he is guiding all things for the good of his people. Jesus was not healing only the boy. He was healing the eyes of the heart of this father for him to see, to understand, and to have faith in Christ, to be firmed in him, to be secured in him. All this suffering had a purpose, and Jesus was redeeming sin and suffering in his light. Church, the darkness of this world is not beyond the reach of God's hand. Jesus commands, the word of life speaks in the darkness, and there is light. Darkness could not and cannot resist him. The demon shakes and seeks more destruction, but enough. Enough is enough. Jesus commands, and he goes away forever and for good. However, at this moment, it seems that the boy is dead. Can you imagine the head of the father at this point? Imagine what's going on in his mind in these seconds, in this minute. After all this time, after all this effort, all this suffering, all is lost. All this and my boy is dead. Sometimes when we come to Jesus, all things seem to get worse. Sometimes we come to Jesus and there is more persecution. There is more isolation. Life is harder than it was before. It is hard to obey sometimes. But consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed for us. If we walk only by sight, we are not looking to the right place. If we walk by sight, we are not seeing properly. Church, our faith is shown more clearly than ever in the midst of hard situations. Our faith is exercised today in this dark world, trusting in the words of Jesus. After all, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is seated today at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is sovereign today. Look again under new light. What seems to be here is not all that is. This text hammers the point that if you want to truly see reality, if you want to truly see how things are, look to Christ. We depend on him alone. He is able. Jesus is near, and his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, and new every morning, he is able. When all seems lost, this amazing phrase appears, but Jesus. But Jesus. This is the only phrase that is able to bend reality, time and space. But Jesus takes the boy by the hand and make him stand once again. He set him free and caused him to stand restored. Jesus restored the image of God in this boy. He stretches his hand and he heals. He comes and he saves. Jesus stands here before the face of darkness, and he, in his power, overcomes it. He has this power over death because he faced death himself and he emerged victorious. He declared that he was going to do it, and he accomplished by doing that at the cross. He enabled us to rise again by the power of his blood. His life cost a lot because of our sins, but his mercy is more. Like Lazarus raising from the grave, Jesus called this boy out of the prison of darkness into new life in him. And he arose. The boy arose. Jesus changes all. Jesus changes all that is today and forever. Jesus changed reality. Jesus changed this because he is the light that has come into this dark world, making all things new. Church, because Christ has risen, we will also rise in the last day. As he has done once, he will do it again. Jesus is able, and he will not let this world abandon in darkness. But he will restore all things by setting all who believe in him free. If you don't know Jesus personally, if you're hearing this morning for the first time hearing about this, or even if you are struggling with unbelief, come to him. Today is a new opportunity, a new year, a fresh start. Ask him for help. Come to him. Come as you are, but come to him. Pray this prayer. Help my unbelief. Talk to him. He will not reject you. He will listen to you. He will stretch your hand to you. He will help you stand and cause to be firm on him. Why do you take so long? Why do you not come? Don't wait until you figure it out. Otherwise, you'll never come. Come to him. Ask him. He's able. He's graceful. And he's able and he's graceful for you. Speaking about talking to him. Speaking about prayer. Jesus says that prayer is crucial to understand all that happened here. The disciples later came to him and asked why they couldn't do it. Jesus, why couldn't we do the job? I imagine Jesus just breathed deeply, like, you still don't get it, right? They still couldn't see. But his mercy is more, and he explained it more clearly. He says, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Maybe you heard this verse explained before as a methodology of exorcism, as if there was a complex hierarchy of demons and spiritual beings, some weaker and some stronger. Maybe the weaker ones, we humans are good enough to deal with it. But the higher ranks are like a kind of video game end of phase bosses that we have to do a lot of things that demand a lot of effort. Only those who are really spiritual, have a lot of piety, a lot of prayer and penance can do the job. This is not what Jesus is saying here. The best translation for this kind is not talking about a type of demon, but demons as a type. This kind is not a subgroup, but demons in general. So Jesus was saying that these don't go out without prayer. These ones don't go out without prayer. Disciples, do you think that you can deal with spiritual problems without using spiritual weapons? Do you think that you are able to do anything on your own? You depend on God, not on your power or your ability. Jesus here is implying that the disciples tried to expel a demon without even praying. They forgot God in the middle of the situation. He said that we cannot solve spiritual problems on our own. The disciples forgot about God and they tried to live on their own in this dark world. Church, we depend on God and we are weak. He is strong. Therefore, there is no such a thing as a weak prayer or a strong prayer. Strong is the one who listens to our prayers and answers them. Did you notice what is the only prayer in the passage? The disciples didn't pray. Jesus didn't pray. So how did the demon got expelled? The only prayer in the passage is the poor father calling to Jesus, "Help my unbelief." That's the only prayer in the passage. Jesus is a God in the passage. Help my unbelief. A weak man with a tiny faith is strong enough to expel a demon because Jesus is doing it. All things are possible for those who believe in the one who answers our prayers. All things are possible to one who believes in him, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who knows all and answers all. When we pray, we teach our hearts complete dependence and true humility. The one who does not pray grows in autonomy. This was a faithless generation because they sought autonomy. A faithful life is a life that has God in the center. If you walk alone, trusting your sight, you do not pray. But if you realize that you are weak, if you realize that you are in a dark world, and you depend on God's word to be light to your path, and you depend on God himself to live, because in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our existence. If you realize that you belong to God, you will never walk alone. You will walk by faith through the power of prayer in Christ's name. If you depend upon God while walking in this world, you will be able to face this storm with your head up high, and you won't be afraid of the dark. You will have hope in your heart and prayer as your best friend. You will have eyes to see the light of this world that is Jesus Christ himself. Church, this world is passing, and the times are changing. The darkness has been conquered on that cross in that other mountain, and is fading away. The light of a new morning approaches, and we do not walk alone. By faith in Christ, we can see the ultimate reality, a reality that is more real than what is in front of us. Our faith prevails in darkness, not because of us, but because of him in whom we believe. Our faith, small as it is, if it is in Christ, is enough. It is enough because our Lord walked into the darkness of death and defeated it once and for all. He dragged darkness into that cross and nailed it there. In his resurrection, the evil is bound and our hope is secure. This next year, when you think you won't be able to take the next step, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. May God be the center of your life. In the darkness there is out there, we have the light of the world guiding us home. We can rely on him. Bring it all to him. He stretches his hand today to you to cause you to stand firm and walk by faith in the light that is Christ himself. Pray with me. Help us, Lord. We believe in you. Help our unbelief. Your mercy is more, stronger than darkness and new every morning. Grant us to walk by faith and not by sight. As we go out into this world, do not let us tremble and be scared by the shadows of this world. We do not walk alone. We walk wholly dependent on you, the light of the world. You are victorious over darkness. The darkness did not prevail, and we wait in hope for you. Come and make all things new. Protect us, guard us, lead us. We pray by faith, resting completely in the name of our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.